Jeremiah chapter number 9 was our text today, and I was reading this passage, and two things jumped out at me. One I preached on this morning, the other one I saved for tonight, and I wanted to preach tonight on the subject of standing for the truth, and I wanted to preach on the subject really of courage tonight. And I was confronted by this when the prophet was describing the nation of Israel in verse number 3 of chapter 9. In verse number 3, he describes them as bending their tongues like their bow for lies. And there's a phrase in here about the nation of Israel. It says, but there's a conjunction there in verse 3, and they bend their tongues like their bow for lies. But whenever you have the conjunction of but, there's an opposite thought that follows. There's a contrast that follows. And the contrasting statement that follows that is, they are not valiant. That word valiant is valorous or courageous for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they don't know me, saith the Lord. One of the things that God had against the nation of Israel was that they were eager and they were courageous and they were extending energy to be deceitful. You know, I found that sometimes it does take more energy to be deceitful than it does to be honest. You ever have to tell one lie to cover up another lie? Not you, of course, but I've had to do that. You ever had to tell more than one lie to cover up more? You ever get to the part where you're like, now, what did I tell them? How did that go? You remember that when you were deceitful and you're caught? And pretty soon you yourself don't even know what the truth is. The nation of Israel was extending energy to be deceitful, and it seemed like it was very easy to go from evil to evil, but they lacked a courage and a valor to stand for the truth upon the earth. Now you need to remember that it was the nation of Israel that God chose to declare truth to the nations. It was the nation of Israel that was to declare that there was one true and living God. It was the nation of Israel that was there to declare the righteousness of God. It was the nation of Israel that was to declare to the heathen that their gods were not even alive or real or anything. And they were to, in themselves as a nation, to proclaim the goodness and stand for truth. And so that was one of the things that God wanted to do with them. But they got to a position where they lacked the courage. And they were not valorous and valiant for the truth upon the earth. I want you to hold your hand here. We're coming back to this passage. But I want you to go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, if you would please. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'd like to read you a verse over there that I think is fitting and proper here. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse number 15, Paul's teaching the young man, and he says, but if I tarry long, in verse 11, he's hoping to come and visit Timothy shortly, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the what class? Truth. So what the nation of Israel was supposed to do when it came to the truth of God and declaring that truth to a Gentile world, that really and truthfully is the responsibility of the church today. The church is to be and is declared by God as the pillar and ground of the truth. I'm not sure that the church as a whole is effective in standing for truth. I'm not sure that we live in a day and age where churches are valorous or courageous for the truth. There's more meaning than just the body of believers here. See, understand this. The brick and mortar is not the church. People are the church. Amen? So not only is Plantation Baptist Church corporately to be a pillar and ground of the truth, but our individual lives are to be a pillar and a ground of the truth. And I don't know about you, but I have found in my own life that when I stand or speak the truth, it takes courage. And a lot of times I will fail the test of standing for the truth because I yield to fear and a lack of courage. I don't know that I'll turn you there. I'll try to get there fast myself. In the little letters that John wrote back before the book of Revelation, I want you to hear a couple of things he said. He was said in 2 John 4, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. When he wrote back in the third epistle of John unto Gaius, he said, I love you in the truth, and I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. It's getting to be almost an anomaly and almost surprising to find somebody that has the courage to stand for truth. And when you meet somebody that has that kind of courage, it is refreshing. It is rejoicing. I'm not here tonight to burden you. I really am here tonight to encourage you. And I want to encourage you by understanding the Christian life takes courage. It takes courage. It's not something that you're just going to acquiesce and you're going to ease by. Really and truthfully, salvation is the easy part. I didn't want to go to hell. I really, when somebody confronted me with the truth that I was a sinner and that I was guilty and who, the righteousness of Christ, I didn't have a problem with that. Yes, sir, I'm a sinner. Yes, sir, I deserve to go to hell. Yes, sir, I have sinned against the holy God. Yes, sir, Jesus is the Savior, and I receive him. That part really wasn't tough. The tough part is allowing his life to come through my life. The tough part is every day being filled with the Spirit of God. The tough part is every day being led and doing what God wants me to do. The Christian life, really and truthfully, is impossible without the fullness of the Spirit of God. And I think that we need to remind ourselves that it takes courage. Therefore, we need to understand where courage comes from. When it comes to the truth, courage is demanded to do a couple of things. It will demand courage to even speak of the truth or profess of the truth. Have you ever had to stand up for the Lord by speaking the truth and know that that's going to put you in a place of contempt with others? You know, you read the Bible and what was said of the Christians back in the early ages is true. We know that this sect is everywhere spoken against. Peter said, men will gaze strangely at us as soon as we cease to run with them into their excess of riot. It does take courage not to know the truth, but to profess the truth. And sometimes God's going to put you in a position where he wants you to speak for him. And you will feel the moving of the Spirit of God, and then immediately your rationale will come in. If I speak this, I will suffer this. Now, I don't know what suffer this is. It could be embarrassment. It could be maliciousness. It could be making fun of. It could have some kind of loss. But we've all been in that battle. Don't think that you're a weak Christian because you have that battle. All of us have that battle. Amen? But there will come a time when courage is demanded of that. I have found that in the Christian walk, Sometimes it's a lot easier for people to suffer than it is for them to speak the truth. Our humanity cannot stand to be vulnerable. It can't stand to stand against the tide. We want everybody to like us. Even for those of you who hate everybody, you want everybody to like you. And it takes courage to profess the truth. Not only does it take courage to profess the truth, it takes courage to practice the truth. Never is that anywhere more exposed than in our relationships. You ever have a friend want you to do something that's against God's word? Have you ever had the thought through your mind and try to work out, how am I going to tell my friend I can't do this without bringing Jesus into this? Well, I'll just tell him I'm sick. I'll tell him I got to wash my hair. I use that one. I'll tell him, you know, I just don't like that. I'm busy. I don't have any money. A lot of times, it takes courage to speak up in our relationships and to practice truth. And we find it very difficult to be obedient to God. I want to say a word about this. That's why, as a believer, you need to have believing relationships. You know, when you get saved, you have unsaved friends and you love them. But it doesn't take long to realize that with Christ, you're different than them. And if you keep hanging out with the same people that you hung out with before you were saved, it's difficult to stand for truth. Most people rationalize that by saying, but I'm a witness for them, but you never open your mouth, or it's just a pool that's very, very difficult. That's why I'm glad for godly friends. Courage to profess truth, courage to practice it. I'll tell you, it takes courage to stand and enforce truth. You know, the Bible says that we're to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather we are to reprove them. And sometimes God's got you in a position where you've got to stand up for the truth and reprove evil. We know the consequences of that. And we know the consequences of the spotlight, and sometimes we're weighing that consequence. Am I going to speak up for truth? Am I going to stand up? Am I going to enforce this? Am I going to recommend truth? Am I going to direct truth here? And we look at these consequences and we measure them, and sometimes we put our light under a bushel. Can I tell you something? This may help you. Don't judge until you hear my whole statement. I spend a lot of my Christian life afraid. Well, Pastor, we've not been given the spirit of fear. I understand that. But I'm put in situations a lot where I feel God saying, stand up, boy, and say something. And then I feel my flesh just go berserk out of fear. You're not the only one that battles that. Don't think that spiritual leadership is some kind of spiritual Superman. There's only one Superman, that's Jesus. The key to that is what you do in that moment. Psalmist said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord. I'll show you a little bit about that. I think sometimes we need to just know that it takes courage. I think you look at people sometimes and you think, well, the Christian life comes easy to them. No, it doesn't. Or they've just got a boldness I don't have. No, they don't. Or they're just better than I am. No, they're not. It takes courage to profess it. It takes courage to practice it. It takes courage to enforce it. Courage is demanded. Courage, there's a duty in exercising it. Listen, you and I have a duty that we owe to God to be courageous. God didn't tell us just to obey his commandments as far as the world will approve. God told us that we're to follow him fully. God didn't tell us that we are to base our decision on how man is going to react. He didn't say that we are to allow that to intervene. He said we are to obey him, period. We have a duty to God. And Satan knows that. And Satan will bring a fear in there. And Satan will try to detract from that. But I read in the Bible where I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ. If that's you, say amen. An ambassador has a job. Has a job. I'll show you in a little bit how you get courage. But we have a duty in exercising and a duty we owe to God. Listen, in your life, God has to be the only person you care about pleasing. You cannot put anybody else ahead of that. Well, I got to put my wife ahead of that. No, you don't. Well, I got to put my husband ahead of that. No, you better not. Well, I got to put my kids. I got to put my job. I got to put my security. I got to put my this or that ahead. No. When you reduce down into your thought process that it will be God and him alone that I will care about pleasing, life becomes pretty focused for you. We have a duty to be courageous to our neighbors. What does your neighbor think when they see us who profess a Christianity, but we violate most of it through disobedience? I think our neighbors look at our lives and I meet neighbors all the time, and my neighbors are not saved, and some of them. And you ever have a neighbor invite you to do something you know you can't do? I met the neighbor across the street down to the left. I got to make sure you get it right so you know it's not Joey because he lives on my street. He said, hey, you and Bev, come over. Let's have a beer and let's hang out. You know, I'm standing there. It's the first time I met the guy. I don't necessarily want to tell the guy, you know, blah, 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 blah. But I can't go over there and drink a beer. I hope you find yourself sometimes. I had a neighbor knock on the door. It was Christmas time. We don't open the door hardly for anybody, so we look out. And it's my neighbor across the street, and they've got this big bottle of wine. Just big bottle of wine. I'm thinking, oh, great Lord. I've been witnessing these people. They know who I am. They know what. And they're coming over here to give me this bottle of wine. I can't take this bottle. What am I going to do? My flesh wanted just to say, you know what? I'll take the bottle, and then when they leave, I'll just get rid of it. But I was pricked at that. So I open the door. There they are. We want to give this to you. Okay, here it goes. So I said, listen, you're my neighbor, and I love you, but I can't take that. I just can't, in good conscience toward my Lord, I can't drink wine. If you'd have brought me something else, I would take it. But I can't do that. You know what that lady said to me? She said, well, you know, we got the same problem. We don't drink either. Somebody gave it to us, so we thought we'd give it to you. I'm dead serious. I thought, what are you doing to me? I never was so glad in all my life that I spoke up for the truth. I would have crushed those people. You know, you have a duty to your neighbor to stand for truth. And I know sometimes it takes courage, but sometimes being courageous for God shows that God is worthy to be served. You know, people aren't against causes. They're not against sacrifice. They're not against you worshiping and respecting. They kind of admire that. The problem is we get so afraid, or we don't know how to communicate things. We don't stand for the truth that we just acquiesce. And in acquiescing, we do more harm to the name of Christ than just standing up and telling the truth. Our God is worthy to be served. We have a duty for courage to God. We have a duty for courage to our neighbors. We have a duty to courage to ourselves. Our our welfare depends upon that. If we're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of us. If we deny him, he will deny us. We must be valiant. The Bible said, quit ourselves like men. Let me tell you, you will be amazed at what just a little bit of, how far a little bit of courage will take you. And I'll say this too. Boy, I seem like I'm saying a lot of things to get myself in trouble today, but I guess that's God's fault. Don't you get tired of cowering? Don't you get tired of saying, man, God, I messed up that. I'll do better next time. You would be amazed if just one time you would speak the name of Jesus Christ. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. And not only what it does for them, but what it does for you. For you. So there's courage is demanded. It's demanded in our profession. It's demanded in how we practice it. It's demanded in how we present it and how we are to use it to stand for truth. It's a duty to God. It's a duty to our neighbor. It's a duty to ourselves. Well, Pastor, where does courage come from? Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let me show you something that Paul taught Timothy, and we're almost done. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We know from chapter 1 that Timothy is a fearful young man. He's a young man that God had called to a position of service. He was called to ministry. Verse number 7 of chapter 1, Paul's got to remind him that God hath not given him the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And so he wrestled with a lack of courage. And Paul knew that if he was going to be a minister and he was going to serve the Lord, he was going to have courage. You come to chapter 2 and you look at verse number 1. And Paul says, now thou therefore, my son, be strong in the, what's that word, class? In the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul said to Timothy, if you're going to be strong and you're going to have courage, it's going to be courage and strength that develops in and through the grace of Christ. If you and I are going to have courage to stand for truth, then Jesus Christ has to be the preeminent of our life. We have to come to the position where he is right and everything else is wrong. We have to come to the position where I only care about pleasing him. Matter of fact, if you look over here at verse number 8 of chapter 1, he says, be not thou therefore, what's that word? Ashamed. Now watch where Paul develops this. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our what? Who? Lord. Nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the, what's that phrase? Power of God. You're never going to know courage and strength, and you're never going to stand for the truth if you're ashamed of Christ. None of us would say we're ashamed of him, but we can be embarrassed by him. Sometimes we think the name Jesus is a weak name. I know some people, they won't even use the name Jesus. And in our mind, we've allowed the world to tell us that he's insufficient or that he's a crutch or that we'll be weak in this. And so even though we're not ashamed overall, there's a part of us that we're a little bit embarrassed about the Lord. Most of the time, that springs from never seeing the power of God in our life. Verse number 8 of chapter 1, he said, be partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And so we've put our faith in the Lord, but I'm not necessarily sure that we have surrendered ourselves in that living sacrifice to where the power of God is upon our life. And in some measure, we're a little bit embarrassed or ashamed of Christ. And really the evidence of that is we don't speak about him. And our shameness comes because we don't really know him. We're not sure of him. We haven't tested him. We're not sure of his word. And so, yes, I'm a believer, but I'm not walking close to him. I've not really seen, therefore, the great power of God in my life. And I'm not sure that I want to exalt him and speak for him. I'm not sure that he's strong enough to hold me. And so I hold a little bit of a shameness. If that's the position in which you live in, you will never know courage. You'll be defeated every single time. That's what Paul's telling Timothy. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's saying, if you come back over here to chapter 2, verse 3, endure hardness for the Lord. If you were to read all in, all the way down through the chapter, you're going to see how that Paul exalts the Lord and how Paul lifts and reminds him in verse number 8 of chapter 2, the power of Christ and his resurrection power and the word of God and the power of that. And he's saying, listen, there's no reason for you to ever be ashamed of Christ. And God's people ought to say amen to that. Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ. So first I've got to be strong in Christ himself and then in his grace. How am I strong in the grace of God? I'm strong in the grace of Christ when I understand what grace is. I understand that Jesus loves people. Jesus is compassionate about people. Jesus came because man was condemned already. Do you believe that? So your neighbor, your fellow employee, your family, they need Jesus Christ. And they need the grace of God from which salvation comes from. We kind of operate from the aspect that they're heathen and they act like heathen. Therefore, God's not necessarily part of them or pleased with them. And there's like this. There's this separation in their thought process, and therefore I'm not going to bring that up or him up to them. No, when you're strong in Christ and you're strong in God's grace, courage begins to develop in you, love begins to develop in you, and you're able to stand there with compassion and dignity and integrity and love and kindness and mercy, and you're able to present people the word of God, and they see it come from that vantage point. Just takes a little bit of courage. And courage is developed as I know him. Courage is developed as I understand God's grace. I won't take you there, but you ought to read Ephesians chapter 6, putting on the armor of God. The armor of God. Have you ever been paintballing? You ever been shot by a paintball? Hurts. When I go paintballing, which is rare, because when the pastor goes, everybody wants to shoot the pastor. So they shoot me when I'm getting ready. They shoot me during the game. They shoot me during the timeout. Ha, 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 bang. You know. I don't do much paintballing. But I put on my helmet. I put on my chest protector. I put on thick jeans and a couple other things. And I put on this heavy jacket. And I've got my gun. And I've kind of got myself in a position where I know if I get shot, it's not going to hurt. And I get courageous. Put on the armor of God. Put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Grab the shield of faith. Understand, I've got the sword of the Spirit. Arm myself in that. And Paul said, when you're armed in that, then stand there with some courage. Because those fiery darts will not penetrate that shield of faith. The problem is we don't arm ourselves. We're not strong in the grace of Christ. We're a little bit unsure about the person of Christ himself. And therefore, our courage is lowered. It takes courage. It takes courage. It does. If you think there's a superhuman Christian, you're out of your mind. Pastor, do you sin? Yeah. Pastor, do you ever do the same thing over again that you told God you didn't want to ever do again? Yeah. Pastor, do you ever not speak up when you should? Yeah. Pastor, do you ever have guilt? Yeah. Pastor, do you ever think that sometimes God's disappointed with you? Sometimes. Pastor, do you ever kind of just feel like quitting? Sometimes. Those are normal human thoughts. But hallelujah, praise God, I have the Word of God that cleanses my way. And I got to get in that book just like you do. Well, it's easy for you to stand up in front of all these people and speak. You're out of your mind. I need it just like you. Grow in grace. Grow in Him. Arm yourselves. Have a little bit of courage. I don't know what that thing is that God's got in your life right now. But if you'll just have a little courage and use the name of Jesus Christ, you will be amazed at the power in His name. And God's people said, shall we pray?